good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship with Pastor Steve Whitaker. My name is Terry Tackett, and it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm running a little ragged, but I'm doing great. It's been, as you guys know, I've been going a lot of different directions, and it'll settle down. It always does. Hey, it's a good night to be here. I did want to bring something up while I'm on the show. The radio station, WWGH 107.1 FM, presents a amazing Rock and Roll Hall of Fame giveaway. And what will happen is sometime between May 1st and May 10th, some lucky person is going to win two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And but they need to call in during one of the shows, and they need to call in and give a answer to a trivia question.
Starting on those dates.
Right? Starting on those dates, yep. From May 1st. Yep. And a trivia question I guess I can give you tonight is this one.
No, you won't give it till next week.
I can't give it till next week.
Yeah.
Well, You guys don't give a trip. I'm not even going to give you guys a hint. But anyway, that's going to happen. It's going to be May 1st running through May 10th. Yep. You'll get a trivia question, and if you call in during that show, you have the chance to go in a drawing for those tickets. So I would invite you to do that.
He'll think of a good trivia question for next week and get
you. Well, anyway, it's a great week, and great to be here. I hope everyone had a good Easter. I really do. I saw a lot of people going to church this Easter, which was a real blessing. You know, at our church, we had more people than we normally do, and we had, I shouldn't say that. Throughout the different services of the week, I saw more people than we normally do. Easter Sunday was good, but we always have a lot of people that travel, and but we had a really good week. You know, a friend of mine, is a pastor down in Florida, and he said an interesting thing he made a post the other day that I found quite interesting, and it says, stop worrying about mega churches and stop worrying about micro churches. Mm-hmm. We should be more concerned with multiplying churches. Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite interesting. Don't you think so? Because churches are something that is declining. I heard a statistic the other day that kind of blew me away. There's more pastors leaving the pulpit every year than there are people in school to be pastors. Wow, think about that. It's a tough game. I'm going to read something tonight if I could. First of all, the number here is 7403-39944. You are welcome to call in at any time. I definitely would appreciate you doing that. And give us a call. Let us know if you have any thoughts, what's going on. So anyway, I want to read to you tonight from, this will be from the New International Version, the NIV, which I don't usually read from. But I'm reading from that tonight, and I'm going to read in 2 Timothy 3. And 2 Timothy chapter 3. So follow along with me if you would please this evening. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their ways and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these teachers also oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers, imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a powerful passage. I know that this station has had guests on from time to time that talk about the last days. And people get worked up sometimes, and they don't want to hear that, because the last days are certainly, I don't know if they're upon us, I don't know. You know, God will make that decision. You know, God definitely says that, and Scripture says that no one knows the time and day when that will occur. But there are signs, there are things. But I find it interesting in the first, from chapter 3 of 2 Timothy through verse 5, if you follow along and you pay attention to that, it says, but mark this. In other words, write this down. Put a mark on this, because you've got to pay attention. It says, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. I don't think that myself that we've ever lived in a time when we had a more narcissistic society. Lovers of money. Money rules. You know, we've talked about that on here with Scott. You know, Scott's talked about how the news is driven by money. What's aired, what the subject content is, how long they'll run with something, who guests are. It's all driven by money rather than truth. Rather than what's right, rather than what a lot of times what is edifying or uplifting or helping people is driven by money. Boastful. Do you ever hear anybody boast and take credit for everything in the world? We do all the time, don't we? Proud. Abusive. Boy, are we living in an abusive age. My word, everyone's abusing everybody. And it's really hard, because you hear this stuff, and that's one of the reasons, I'll be honest with you, I've had to turn off a lot of the network news on television, because it's I not only do I find the people that are the people giving the news, the newscasters, the proud and boastful, but I find them also abusive when it comes to people they don't like or agree with, or bringing up abusive subjects. Disobedient to their parents. Now, that's kind of interesting. I don't know that we've ever lived in a day that I know of where children are more disobedient to parents. Terry, it blows me away, buddy. I go in the store and I see kids just defying their... You know, I tried it. Did you ever try to defy your parents? I sure did. I know what happened. Do you know what happened to you? I won't show you that gesture Terry just gave me. It was kind of a swat.
Yeah.
And the truth was, I mean, you know, I knew better.
Yeah.
I can never remember, in all honesty, ever one time in my entire life, I lost Dad when I was 13, but up until that point, I never remember one time talking back to him. I'm sure that I tried it at a very early age, but it was so ingrained in me that you don't do that, that I just knew I did. There was a respect level there, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't fear my father. Mm-hmm. I didn't fear my mother. Yeah. I do know that if I got, if I was going to do something wrong or cross a line, I was going to get punished, and it was usually physical punishment. Mm-hmm. I.e. a spanking or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. There was no abuse there. Mm-hmm. There was correction there.
Discipline.
And I loved them both dearly, and I coddled up to them and cuddled them. I didn't jump every time they raised their hand because I thought I was going to get smacked. And I think that, you know, we're being taught that today, that that's what went on back then. And that's just not the case at all. But we listened to our parents, and because we listened to our parents, we stayed out of a lot of trouble, and because we listened to our parents, we made things of our lives, and we didn't bleed them dry. And it's really sad. I know of someone that recently passed away, not a relative or anyone like that, but someone that I know. And immediately before their mom had even passed away, they were fighting over her stuff. And that is definitely... disobedient to parents, don't you think? Ungrateful. Do we live in an ungrateful society? I think so. Unholy, for sure. I don't see much holiness out there. Without love, now I'm talking about real love, not this stuff that, oh, honey, I love you, my emotions are bugging out of my eyeballs. It's actually loving someone, a commitment. I could say without commitment, without caring commitment in that form of a love. Unforgiving. Some people just will never forgive someone. Slanderous, without self-control. Never seen a day without so much self-control. Brutal, not lovers of the good. Now, that's real interesting that someone mentions that. Not lovers of the good. You know, it used to be years ago, and I heard someone talking about this on the radio the other day, and I'm trying to remember who it was. But they were talking about when they grew up, and they said, you know, they grew up in a Christian home, and they were a Christian. And, you know, back when they grew up as a kid, this was someone probably my age, they said, not everyone wanted to be a Christian. But if you were a Christian, people respected you for being one. And they respected your decision to be a Christian, and they would never cut on you for being one, whether they decided to follow Christ or not. Today, no one loves what's good. We slander what's good, and it's real interesting. I don't know how many people know this, but the church does more for child care and child welfare in the world than any other organization, than any state, than any government. The church does more. Private adoption agencies, private foster care agencies, food, clothing, daycare centers, over and over and over again. But you know what? They're slandered constantly for it. And so think about that a minute. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That one's such an obvious to me, because you give somebody a chance to go to a ball game on Sunday versus go to church, where are they going to be? I mean, that's a given.
You've talked about that many times, about the Browns winning out over.
Oh, they do. And or even the mall. Hey, so-and-so called and wants to go, you know, go to the mall tomorrow. Well, you've got church tomorrow, don't you? Come on, please. I want to go to the mall, and off you go to the mall, yeah. That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That's really an interesting one, because it talks about the fact that people will talk about God. You know, I believe in God. I go to church. I have a religious side to me. I may go sit in a pew on Sunday and dress up. That's called having a form of godliness. That's religion. But denying its power. In other words, you're denying the power of God having any power in your life whatsoever. You're still doing exactly what you want to do. And then it says, he's talking to Timothy, this young pastor. He's saying, have nothing to do with such people. Get away from them. Don't let them, don't want, because it, see, here's what it says in verse 6. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women. And let me kind of explain that just a bit. I think that sometimes what we have to do is, I lost my train of thought. Something just popped up. Does that ever happen to you? You know, right in the middle of something. But no, I guess what I'm getting at is that we have, you know, many times we have people that sit at home and they want something, they desire for something. And a lot of these religious organizations and people will find their way into getting people to come alongside them. There's usually cash involved, just like we've talked before. Money seems to drive everything. And they'll offer a form of godliness to people to make them feel better, but there's no real commitment and walk with the Lord. And it's really kind of tough. It's tough to see. You know, one of the things that I've noticed today that I never used to see a lot, and it even comes with music in our churches, and let me explain this. I love music. Music's one of my favorite things in the world. And I go to bed listening to music most nights. But if we are to have a relationship with God, and we are to desire that special time with him, we should be able to. You need to take that, Terry. We should be able to have that through Jesus Christ, his son, because he was the mediator that we are given. But for some reason today, we have been given a mediator that seems to be music. People say that we have to play music and get in the mood to bring us to that place of surrendering to worship. That's supposed to be that relationship with Jesus Christ that does that. That's supposed to be the Holy Spirit working within us. We shouldn't need some form, actually in a sense, mood-driven stuff, stuff driven by outside stimuli, music, talk, etc. Those things probably have a tendency to go more into the pagan realm than they do the Christian realm. Yes.
Okay, Pastor, we got a call here. We're going to put them on, okay?
Yep.
Oops, maybe.
Did you lose them, Terry?
Don't tell me I lost them. I did.
Hopefully they'll call back.
Sorry, call back. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Well, they'll call back, and then you can just pick
it's
it right
fault.
Up.
It's my fault. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Yep,
there we
go.
There
okay.
we go.
All right. Yes, WWGH, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, great.
Hey, just had a quick story. Pastor there was talking about how hard it is, you know, to get folks to come to church and whatnot, and folks going to games instead of going to church. I used to promote gospel concerts back in the day, and it was so hard to get a crowd, you know, and then you talk to folks and they'll sit in the rain or whatever for a baseball game, and then they won't come to a nice air-conditioned church for a gospel concert. So I could relate to what the pastor was talking there.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things that I saw that was kind of comical that I saw a post on social media one day was this guy sitting in the top of, I couldn't tell you whether it was Buffalo or Cleveland or where it was, but wherever it was frigid. These people sitting in the top of the stadium, you know, covered in snow, shivering, watching a game, and they'll go sit for that, but to get them to sit through an hour of church, it's like, man, I'm not doing that. And it's just kind of amazing the day in which we live that people are so. I really think, I love sports too, I really do.
Me too.
And I love everything about them, but boy, have they become an idol in this country today.
Yeah. I can relate to that, Pastor, for sure. Hey, you're doing a great job. I appreciate your program every week.
Well, hang on. If people don't know, this is Nate Redmond that does the show tomorrow.
Hey, Nate, how are you?
Nate, what's your show, Nate?
Hey, I do Offbeat News and Trivia every Wednesday from 4:15 to 5 o'clock.
Okay. Every Wednesday from
4:15
to 5 o'clock. Offbeat News and Trivia. Oh, that's some fun stuff, too. I love Offbeat News, and I love trivia, too.
So. Yeah. So we have a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah. Well, good to talk to you, Nate.
Hey, you too, and you're doing a great job.
Take care, Nate.
Bye. Okay, you guys take care.
Well, Nate Redmond called in there. That's Whenever I talked to him the first time, but I missed him. That's what he wanted to tell me about the concerts. He said that he always had a tough time, which I think he talked to you about the tough time promoting those.
You know, it really can be, and I think that we're over entertained today. It's kind of funny. When I was a kid, Jimmy Ray Electronics down in Columbus, they were there for years and years. Did audio video for everybody.
Okay.
They actually did audio video for a lot of televangelists and different venues and all kinds
gotcha.
Of things.
But I gotcha.
But anyway, they had a place called the Christian Free Drive-In on Mound Street. A lot of people would remember that. It was on West Mound Street, and every Sunday night, it may have been Saturday too, but I know we only went on Sundays, usually after church. And we go to this Christian Free Drive-In, and it didn't cost a thing to get in.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, we have important information for you. Don't hang up the phone. anyway,
so anyway, we would go to this Christian Free Drive-In, and they had, you know, just like a typical drive-in movie, you had the speakers that you hung on your window, they had a concession stand, but then for the kids, they would have, for little kids, for so parents could come, they had like a Sunday school program out on the grounds.
Oh.
And they would have different things going on, and they just did stuff, and the kids loved it. But anyway, my point is that something like that today, nobody go to it because there's so much stuff to go to. But entertainment was something that you didn't get much of.
Yeah.
So you'd go to anything, and it was great because they really were good movies, and it was a great venue. But even with like that, like our youth group on Sunday night, we always had a strong youth group. And the reason we did was kids had nothing else to do. So even if they didn't want to be part of youth group as church per se, they'd come with you just for something to do. And now kids, you know, they don't. Well, now they've got social media and they've got their phones. Why do they need anything else, right?
I was getting ready to say, Pastor, a buddy of mine promotes different things, and he said he's having a tough time right now. He said he's had to scale back. He said that what he focuses on now, the two main things are time and cost, because he said he knows he's not going to get your attention for, you know, quite a while. So he tries to keep things short and sweet and keep the price low. He said that seems to be the formula that's working for him right now.
And then, you know, church services,
which he said in the past was never like that. You know,
no.
What I mean?
Well, another thing it wasn't like is that, you know, church services used to run a lot longer in years past. People will not sit that long.
Right.
And it's funny though with the social media thing. I had a couple kids in church that were on sitting there sharing their phone, talking, and they were on social media during church. And at one point, I emphatically, not about that, but emphatically about a subject, really raised my voice, and they were not 15 feet from me, and they never batted an eye and never moved. They just stayed right in the phone. I mean, these kids are literally becoming zombies to their phone.
Mm.
Zombies. And I'll be honest, I struggle with it too. I like to get on it, I like to see what's going on and check it, this and that. And I got to be careful because I can even start to get sucked in.
Yeah.
But our young people today are literally, it's like an appendage. A matter of fact, some of them might be willing to give up an appendage rather than that appendage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The choice could be, I take your arm or your phone. Well, take one of my arms. I don't need it anyway. I can text with one hand. And, you know, that's kind of where we are. But, you know, it's funny when you read that passage in Timothy, it really is a reflection on so much of where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean the Lord's going to return tomorrow? No, it does not. But it also tells us that, it doesn't have to stay that way. You know, with God, there is always repentance. With God, there is always. He is our God of second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10,000th chances. He is. And he desires for us to turn and come to him and quit coming to ourselves. You know, the sad thing is that all these things that we do are to make ourselves feel better, right, in some form. But eternity will feel great always. Why not take this short time we're on earth and give God a chance? You know, the thing is, people say, well, Pastor, I don't really believe that. And here's the deal, folks. If you're right, there's no big deal. One of these days you're going to die and you're going to return to whatever form of natural earth matter that you will return to, and that'll be the end of it. But see, the problem is, if I'm right, you're in trouble. If I'm right, there's eternity waiting on us, and it's either in heaven with God or in hell without him. And that's what you got to think about. So it's worth at least investigating. And then people say, well, you know, why would any loving God do that to people? Because we don't understand God. God has a standard. God is God. He is not us. God abhors sin. God doesn't desire that anyone spend eternity without him. But what he says is this. He says, this is the way that leads to truth. This is the way, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what? It's destruction. And the way that seems right unto God is the only way that he'll accept for us to go. So it's not that he desires for anyone to not spend eternity with him, but it's going to be under his conditions that we do it. And he loved us so much, and he despised sin so greatly that he sent his son to pay for it. That's a real hatred of sin. It's not a hatred of you and I. It's a love for you and I. It's a hatred of evil and what's wrong. And the interesting thing is people say, well, you know, I'll decide what's right or wrong, you know, in my own life. No, God has already made the decisions as to what's right or wrong. And, you know, there is such an example in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years of, even within our own country, us deciding what's going to be right. Us deciding that, okay, we're going to do it our way. We don't have to do it God's way. And I look at things and I say, where have we gone as a society? Honestly, I mean, our society is not pretty anymore. Less and less safe neighborhoods. Hungry people. You know, everyone talks about how it was so bad back in the 50s, 60s, 70s and how women were treated. I got to tell you, folks, growing up, I rarely ever saw a woman with a black eye. And today I see them all the time when I'm in town. Women are being abused. Men are not being treated as men anymore. They have lost their desire in many cases to love their wife, to love women the way women should be loved. They've lost their desire to be the breadwinner. They've lost their desire to feel like they want to be a real caregiver the way God designed them. There's no respect between the sexes at all that I see in most cases. People just get finished with someone and find someone new. Even in what appears to be the best of marriages going in, many times after a couple years, they just get bored with each other and they move on and then leave these broken children in the wake of their mess. Our prisons are completely overcrowded. Disease is running rampant. Our schools are having more and more hard time constantly with kids that have mental deficiencies and problems brought on by cultural decisions, whether it be drug abuse or many other things that are out there. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you can trace all of this back to what the Bible would call sinful acts and sinful things that happen. Now, God loves us. We're the ones that make the decisions to do these things. But then we want to say, how can God love the world and see things the way they are? God loved us so much that he not only sent his son, but he wrote the word of God so that we would have a manual and a book to follow to see how to stay out of these situations and to follow him and to have that life that resembles some form of holiness and to know what true love is, true compassion, true caring. You know, the more that you love people, the more that you care. The more that you care about people, the better you feel about yourself, the more you want to help people, the more you want to reach out for people. If the church is so bad, and in the churches where all these, and it's sad because we're being called haters today. Why is it that the church is the number one charity in the world? Why is that? Because they're not haters. It's just the people that do not want to follow God or do what God says, people with their own agendas. That list that I read first, I mean, if you really look at people in the world political spectrum, and if you look at that, and then you read that passage that I read, think about something a minute. I want you to look at the people that are typically in the power positions in our world right now. You know, the people especially that are really condemning Christians in any form of churches or anything around it. And the church is horribly under attack. It says people will be lovers of themselves. Sound familiar? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. I think what they did was they interviewed a bunch of media people but honestly, and a bunch of politicians. Because this is what I'm seeing. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. having a form of godliness. Oh, yeah, they're quick to go to church on a Sunday on TV, on Easter Sunday. You know, see them in their suit and, you know, going off to church. And you know, that's called a form of godliness, but denying his power. You know, we see that and we wonder what's wrong with the world. Well, we need to return to that simple faith. And all simple faith is that simple faith is just to stop and say, you know what, God, you're right. I've been wrong. I give you my life. And ask forgiveness for everything you've ever done. That's all you got to do. And then start on that path of desiring to understand and to know God rather than to living for yourself. I mean, it's pretty simple. People say, well, I've gone so far down this path. How do I get there? It's easy. It's called repentance. You stop and you turn. It's a 180-degree turn. You stop one path, you turn and go the other direction. It's as simple as that. And God says, welcome. Welcome home. This is where you're supposed to be all along. But people don't want to do it because they want their way. And no God is going to tell them they can't do A. No one's going to tell them they can't do B or C. And it's just like, you know, it's just like I never really understood young people that have that rebellious personality. And they'll say, no one's going to tell me what to do. And they get in trouble, and they leave home, and they run away, and they won't let anyone at school tell them what to do or at home. And then they end up going to prison to a place where they tell them when to get up in the morning, when to shower, when to lay down, when to eat. You know, it's kind of like, okay, that was kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face, wasn't it? We do the same thing every day in society. God's not going to tell me what to do. Okay. So you go ahead and live for Satan and you live for the alternative and see how that's going to turn out for you. Because once you're under that control, it's almost impossible to get out of. Do you think it's God that promotes alcoholism? How about heroin abuse? How about narcissism? You think maybe it's God that promotes, the me first society? No, none of that is God. It's our world saying we'll do what we want to do. And that's where we end up. It's slavery. It's a total type of slavery. You become a slave to sin. People say, oh, I don't want to be a slave to religion. You're not a slave to religion. There's great freedom in religion. See, I don't have to wake up every day worrying about what I'm going to do or if I'm going to have a good time. It's not what it's about. I wake up every day and I say, God, you know what? This is your day. I know I'm going to mess up today. But guide me if you would and put those in front of me that need you. And I go on and live my day. And I don't worry about what's going to happen because no matter what happens, I know that he's in control of things. And I live fine. I feel great about things. I have things happen that are hard. Everyone does. We have difficulties that happen. All these things happen, but we handle them different. We understand them differently. I can tell you one thing. I am not going to wake up tomorrow morning hungover and not wanting to go to work. And if that's freedom, you can have it. You understand what I mean? I am not going to go out Friday night and have some woman catch my eye and have an affair and ruin my marriage. If that's freedom, you can have it. I'm not going to go to work tomorrow and stab my coworker in the back so I can have their job and then have to live with myself. If that's freedom, you can have it. Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm not going to go overspend and go in debt out the gazebies to look as good as my neighbor when I can't afford it. If that's freedom, you can have it. You see what I'm getting at? And this is where we've gone as a world, and people just need to stop and say, wait a minute, I need to reboot. I need to regroup. And there was a letter that was written in Revelation. And when John was talking about the Laodicean church, it was a church that was described as neither being hot nor cold, and God wanted to spew them out of his mouth. And the problem with that is it's a church that is they think they're doing what's right. They think that everything that they're good, they're religious, they're good to go, but they really were not, it was like this, denying the power of God. And, you know, they were warned, and the letter was in a sense a warning. And what's interesting is when we look at that from a historical perspective and go back and look at Laodicea, it appears that after that time they did much better. It's called heeding a warning. And I think that you know, I say these things not to depress people, or it's heeding a warning. You know, when your kids are going to run out in the street and there's a truck coming, you yell stop. You don't say, well, you know, I really don't want to scare him or hurt his feelings. He's just laughing and playing and having such a good time running towards that street. I better just let him go and hopefully he'll turn around when he gets to the curb. But see, that's what the world tells us to do. Or they say that we're judging them. I don't judge anyone. Our judgment came long before Jesus Christ came. Our judgment came in the beginning when we turned our back on God. God sent his son so that he wouldn't judge the world, but so that he'd save the world. The Bible tells you what's right or wrong. It's the Bible that judges you. And if I stand in a pulpit on Sunday, and if I tell you what the Word of God says as a warning to you, or as a direction as why not to do something, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what our God has said through his Word. You understand what I mean? How many times have people leave a church and they'll say, that pastor was judging me the whole time. I don't even know the person. I'm not judging them. But if you can't handle what God has to say, that's between you and him. But, you know, the warning is to get your life on track and follow God. You know, not, do whatever you want. You know, that's not on me. I desire that you don't. I desire that you follow God. I desire that you surrender your life. You know, it's no skin off my nose if you don't, but it is a whole lot of hurt off my heart if you do. I mean, you know, understand what I mean? I want people to know what I know. I want them to experience what I experience because I desire for them to have that wonderful life. I'm not going to make any money off anybody that comes to Jesus. I'm not going to get any special, you know, I'm not keeping score. But I want people to know, and I want people to live that way. You know, you can go on, and instead of thinking about the resurrection of our wonderful Savior on Easter morning that we celebrate, you know, you can go right along and say, no, it's all about the Easter Bunny. That's fine. Go right ahead and do it. But you know what? I'd rather you didn't. I'd rather that you understood and you cared about the truth. I mean, here's a day when we have one day a year when we can celebrate the wonderful gift that our Savior gave us, why he came to earth in the first place, and we don't even want to think about it. And I think that is something that, until we turn that thought process around, our country is not on a good path. We can do economically fine. We can do all these things. Our GDP can look great. You know, all these things, our interest rates, whatever is out there can look great. But when the soul of America is turning black, we're in trouble. And I think that it's we're seeing it. We need to. Here's the thing, and I know I just got a minute, Terry, and we got 3 minutes left. Pastor, it sounds great, but you know, what do we do now? I just said it a minute ago. You individually stop and say, I'm done with this dead-end path I'm on. I'm going to turn and go the other way. How hard is that? It's hard in a sense that we don't, that we're self-centered. We're like those people I described. It's all about us, what we want. We're greedy. We're selfish. We're prideful. We're boastful. We don't want to let stuff go. But when you let that stuff go, the weight that will come off you is unbelievable. It's like walking with a 100-pound backpack on and getting partway down the trail and someone lifts it off your shoulders. And people just need to understand and know that. Hey, guys, we are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We are Community Christian Fellowship. We are a young in the fact that we're only a little over 12 years old, but we are still a growing church, and we are growing, by the way. You'll find everyone there from 4-week-old babies all the way to 80-year-old adults. We're a wide range of people in the church. We love everyone that comes in the door. You're not going to find a judgmental bunch of people, but you're going to find a supportive bunch of people. Our number there is 740-494-2222. Our web address is prospectccf.com. I invite you to come Sunday morning. Our Sunday school is at 9:30. Our worship is at 10:30. We have midweek Bible studies and youth group. And God bless all you guys. I hope you're having a great week this week. Are we done, Terry? What kind of time we got? 1 minute. What can I say in 1 minute? What I can tell you is, as a pastor, I'm not sounding weird if I tell you that I love you, because God has told me to love all of you, which I do. And I desire the best of your lives. Most of you I will never, ever, ever see. But I hope that one day I see you in glory. God bless you guys. Have a good day. Have a great week. We'll see you later.
Have a good night, everybody.